Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm your host. I'm really glad to be with you today. Yesterday, or the last program we did, or the last lesson we did, we talked about the two stages of restoration that God provides through the cross, and the first stage being the blood, and the second stage, the body death. So I hope you really got a lot out of that last program, the body death, because I feel like most of the time that's missed in the body of Christ when it's being taught that through his bodily death, we were put in his body, actually. And that's how we can say we're dead to sin, because the Bible says that in Romans chapter 6, we're dead to sin and alive to God. And the old man's out, the new man's in. That's all from the body death. And also, we're dead to the law, meaning that we don't live outwardly any longer to outer regulations, you see. Not that outer regulations are wrong, but we can't live by them. We live by the Spirit. We live from within instead of without. That's the whole point of the New Covenant, is living from within, living from the Holy Spirit within us. So, but if you would like an outline of this next lesson that we're going to do, look on the website and you will find it. This series is called Christ Our Life Ministry Scriptural Basis. And today we're going to talk about the three levels of maturity. Now that we've seen that, that we're made right by the blood and body of Christ, now how do we move into it? How do we know in these three levels of maturity? I think most Christians don't even know there's three levels of maturity. 1 John is clear about that. The whole New Testament is really clear about it, but you have to kind of organize things and to understand where it's saying it. But if we go right away to 1 John, we will see that that's exactly what the Bible is saying. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for my name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So you see, just exactly the same way that we naturally mature as people, starting out little children, just knowing. And you see, we're going to operate and live from what we know. A little child, what does it know? What its consciousness is, it hasn't learned very much in its life. So even as a little baby, you start understanding things through opposites. You see that your mother looks different and sounds different than your father. So you see opposites and you start learning and you start knowing. And so it's through opposites that we learn all through life. But the Christian life is meant to mature. We're not meant to stay little babies just knowing that our sins are forgiven. Now, I know a man that he became born again, and I kept referring to him as a baby Christian. He did not like that, but basically that's what he was, a baby Christian. And why? Because he's taken his first steps into Christianity, first steps of faith. And actually, this is an evolution of how faith matures in us. It doesn't stay baby faith. It matures on to young man faith and then on to fatherhood faith. And we're going to look at all three of those levels and exactly what 1 John is talking about. First of all, it says, I write unto you little children. Well, we know a little child barely knows anything. So a little born-again baby Christian hardly knows anything. I think that's why we're so hungry to read our Bible and study and listen to sermons and listen to other people that have more maturity so that we can learn, because we're so very hungry when we're first born again to learn more and find out more about Christ and more about our faith. And you see, but through each level of maturity, there's going to be a little crisis. And so there's a crisis usually between the little babyhood level and the young man level. Because on the young man level, we're moving past just being babies, just like a teenager, and we're trying to find out who we are. I have a grandson, he's going to be 15 in February, and he's starting to discover who he is. He's not really a man yet, but yet, you know, he's on his way. He's certainly identifying with his father and wants to be more with his father than his mother. I always tell women, don't worry that your little boys won't like you for a while because they need to bond with their fathers. And so they need that male bonding. So that's a part of growing up. So, and all the ups and downs of being a teenager, we know what they are. And by the time a teenager leaves your house, you are happy that they're gone and they're happy to leave you as well. So it's mutual. Pretty mutual, because it can get really testy as teenagers because they've got to find their own way. So they're sassy and they've got to have a mind of their own. They've got to actually have to rebel against you some to find themselves. I know when my daughter Diane was 17 years old, of course I was always there to tell her something about Jesus all the time. And one day she said to me, "Mom, just let me be 17. She said, "Don't talk to me about that. I know that one day I'm going to grow up and be just like you. But for right now, I just want to be 17. So I had to back off, and that was right for me to back off. And then another time she said, "And Mom, I don't want to know your advice because I know you're right when you give me advice, but I can't live from your rightness." And that's another part of being a teenager and growing up. And that's really the way it is in the Christian world as well. Because we're discovering who we are. We might not want to be around our mentors very much because we want to hear from the Holy Spirit ourselves. A young man knows the Holy Spirit, has moved into his baptism of the Spirit. He knows the Holy Spirit. And so he's beginning to understand who he is in Christ. And, of course, there was a crisis in my life when I discovered who I was, because I learned a lot as a young person in Christ. But yet, there were things I had besetting sins. I had things in my life I couldn't control. My sins were out of control. I tried my hardest to control them, but they always seemed to get the best of me, and I always felt condemned. And then, so I didn't know how to get victory over sin. Or over the devil. I didn't even know the devil's voice. You see, he came to me daily telling me lies. I didn't even know his voice. So that was a big discovery, and discovering then who I really was and discovering who I wasn't, who I'm not in Christ. And I think that's a big part of discovering who you are. Even a young person, when they're going into a profession, a lot of times they'll be in a lot of what they're not going to be when they grow up, before they discover what they are going to be. Well, it's the same way in the Christian world. I mean, a lot of my young man stage was discovering who I'm not. You know, I'm not an insecure, independent self trying to be a good Christian on my own. I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and He is the life. He is the power. He is the one. So you see, I move from little children to a young man. And the Bible says the Word of God, 1 John says this, that the Word of God abides in you. So we know the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. It says that in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus is the Word. So that Word abides in us. So the Holy Spirit then pops out all these wonderful things, and we wonder, where in the world does that come from? Because we're really knowing the Holy Spirit. You know, I think a lot of Christianity have just stayed in babyhood, though. I think sometimes people don't want, even ministers maybe, don't want their people to mature. Because if you have a little child and they don't know a whole lot, you can still pretty much master over them. Well, this isn't about mastering over each other. This is about mentoring each other. And as the book of Ephesians says, and let me read that because I think that's very important. As it talks about the fivefold ministries, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "He gave apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers." Okay, that's the fivefold ministry. But their duty, their job, is to mentor the saints into the young man stage and the fatherhood stage. That's basically what their job is. Because it says in verse 12 that their whole job is for the perfecting of the saints, or the completion of the saints, or growing the saints up to maturity. And it says for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. You see, so the fivefold ministry is totally to edify, to build up. And actually, I always say that the people that I teach and mentor, they're going to be greater than me. That's wonderful. They should be. They should probably know, because each generation ends up knowing more than the generation, the previous one. So that's right to be, to advance as each generation advances. It's just that the younger generation, when it starts advancing, we get pretty cocky about what we think we know. We think we know more than our parents during that time. It's not really until we grow up to be mature in Christ do we realize that our mentors probably, you know, had a little more wisdom than we did. But that's all right. That's all a part of growing up. But look what it says. It says the fivefold ministry is to be there until we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till Christ be fully formed, fully mature in his body. Because, you see, his body, we, the body of Christ, the church, we are really the bodily form of Jesus Christ. So he's the head and we the body. We read that all through the scripture, all through the New Testament. Okay, so his body has to mature to full-grown sonship. I mean, he can't have, our whole purpose is probably, he wants a family of sons who will manage his whole universe. God probably wants that. We can't have babies. He really can't even have teenagers. He's got to have mature men and women of God, and that takes that, and he wants that maturity. He wants you to grow up to that here while you're here. He doesn't want later till you move on into the heavenlies, after you pass into the heavenlies, to learn things. He wants you to learn them here. Now, we're going to learn, we're going to know a lot more after we die, that's for sure. But he wants to progress the body of Christ right here and now, right in the middle of the devil's camp. That's interesting. You see, if you had a business and you had a son, he was immature, and you wanted him to run your business, the best thing for you to do is send him over to your greatest competitor and have him raise you up. If you're raised up by your greatest competitor, you'll be ready to come back into the Father's business and run it, because you'll know all the ins and outs of the competitor. Isn't that a good way of thinking of it? So God has put us right in the middle of his of the opposition, which is a satanic realm, and he wants to grow us up right in the middle of our problems and our stresses and our tribulations and our sufferings. And that's really where we grow. I mean, as long as everything is going wonderful, we're not growing. We're pretty much staying the same. I mean, Billy Graham said that most growth comes through opposition, and I agree. I totally agree with that. It does. It comes when things challenge you. It doesn't come because everything is outwardly peaceful and wonderful. You see, Paul learned in Philippians, whatever state I'm in, to be content. Now, remember, when he wrote that in Philippians, he was in prison in Rome. He was in jail. And, I mean, we have a History Channel, and I've seen some of the holes that were jails that in those days. They were just like holes in the ground. And so there, he was there when he wrote that he's learned to be content. So it's not about your outer circumstances. It's learning to be content in whatever state you're in. You see, that's hard when we're being stretched and we think, well, things are not fair. And we're living in a generation that thinks nothing is fair, that I'm entitled to everything. And so nothing is fair. And so I'm continually bombarded with all those thoughts. Well, I deserve more. Nothing's fair. Well, You know, when we are Christians and we're ready, God's ready to mature us, he'll put you in an unfair place and challenge you and hold you there until you find his contentment. Because Paul learned how to be content whether he was abased or whether he abounded. So I think it might be harder to learn how to be content when things are abounding, because it's during that time that most of us get proud of what's going on with us, and we think everybody else should have outer tranquility instead of any problems. So we kind of put that on each other. And the Lord says, no, be thankful in the middle of your tribulation. That's going to mature you. That's going to mature you to the next stage and the new knowing of knowing who you are. Because actually, in the book of Ephesians, let me read this, because the book of Ephesians is talking about maturity, and it says that he might grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a great power in you wanting to mature you. But we have to have that understanding that it is right that tribulation and suffering comes our way. That's a form of God maturing us. So we see, then the Father, after we move from the young man stage, we move to the fatherhood level. What's the fatherhood level? That's the apostleship level. You see, the first two levels, little children and young men, that's pretty much about me. First, it's about me getting my sins forgiven. And after I know that, then it's about me understanding that the power doesn't come from God, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's about me, the Bible says, overcoming the evil one. And we're going to talk a lot about that next time when we talk about the deceived self-life. That's really how we overcome the evil one. And we've learned all these things are about us. It's about me learning, me knowing who I am. Now the last part was the fatherhood level, and that's the level that Paul said when he moved from Romans 8 into Romans 9, and let me read that because that's pretty significant. Romans 8 is the greatest victory chapter in the Bible, but it's still got some suffering in it. You're not going to have victory without suffering because they go hand in hand. We're always trying to eliminate the outer suffering. Don't quit trying to eliminate the outer suffering and receive them from the hand of God. Now, wait a minute, you're saying to me, well, maybe it's Satan. Well, look through Satan and see what God's purposes are behind it. See, that's the victory in life. All right, in chapter 9, after Paul declares that he's persuaded that nothing will separate him, he's finished. It's not about him anymore. You know, I always say the people of God, they need to get over themselves. It's not about us anymore. It's about we have got the lover living inside of us, and he's going to lay our life down so that others might find life. Okay, look at chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also beareth me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great heaviness. Now, here he's a victorious person. Now, why does he have heaviness? Not about himself, not for himself. And continual sorrow in my heart. I thought he had victory. I thought he had peace, continual peace. He does. This is not about him. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What love! This is the love of Jesus inside of us that would lay our lives down and go to hell for our brothers, for them to find Christ. My goodness, that's not his nature. That's the nature of Christ within him. That's the intercessory level. That's the fatherhood level. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us the difference between young men and fathers. And it says this. Paul had to give credentials of his apostleship. He was the one that led these Corinthians to Christ in the first place. He formed the church and brought them into Christianity. He was their father. But yet he had to give them credentials of his apostleship because there were false apostles that came and tried to say, well, I don't see great power in him. I'm not seeing great things in him. He's not the true apostle. We are. Look what we can manifest. And look at him. He's weak. He's not manifesting all these great things that we are, you see. Well, Paul had to come. He didn't want to defend himself, but he had to for their sake so that they would know that these men were really false apostles. This is what he said in verse 8 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. He's being a little facetious when he says this. He says, now you are full. In other words, you go around, you're saying you're full of Christ. Now you are rich. You say you have the riches of the kingdom. Ye have reigned as kings without us, and you're reigning without us. It has no, you don't need us anymore. And then he says, and I would to God that you did reign. He says, I wish that this were really true about you, that you also might reign with, that we might reign with you. But this is not how the fatherhood, the apostleship, level works. And then he says this, for I think that God hath appointed, set us forth, apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle to the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise. Wise in your own eyes, not really wise. We are weak. We admit we are weak. Oh, but you're strong, and you think that there's something wrong with us because you see our bodily weakness. You are honorable, but we're despised. Even into this present hour, we hunger and thirst and are naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write unto you to shame you, but I also warn you. For though there be 10,000 instructors in Christ, there are not many fathers. You see? Now, God intends to absolutely grow us up to fatherhood. Let me read some more of these parallels in the Bible. Jesus talked to his disciples. He said, you have little faith, because they didn't know how to calm the storm. He said to the centurion, you have great faith. Because he said, speak the word only. That's a young man's stage. And he said to Abraham, you have perfect faith. Now I can trust you. That's the fatherhood level. You see? So the first young little children level is knowing God is Savior. Second young man level is knowing God is power. Third level is knowing him as person. First level is John 3:16. That's how we're saved. The second level is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the second level. Third level, John 7:36. Out from me shall flow rivers of living water. First little children level, our sins are forgiven. Young man level, we have the exchange life. Third level, intercessors. Galatians teaches I'm crucified with Christ, I'm dead. Colossians teaches I'm resurrected with Christ, Christ lives in me. Ephesians teaches I'm seated, I'm ascended with Christ, far above principalities and powers. So it's crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Moses was for the little children. Young man is Joshua. He took the different cities in the promised land. He knew he was a warrior. He knew how to be a warrior. That's a young man. Melchizedek was the fatherhood level. Romans 1 through 5 is the little children level. Romans 6 through 8 is the young man level. And the fatherhood level is Romans 9 through 15. So the New Testament is filled with maturity. God wants you to grow up in him that Christ be fully formed in you, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's exactly what God wants us. And there aren't many fathers, as the Bible says. So I'm trusting that from some of these teachings, you might grab a hold of that truth and by faith ask the Lord to bring you into that level of understanding who you are in Christ. So thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and that he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.